This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran. The story that leads today's show are as follows. The big snow coming to you in the East Coast. So I hope some of you are watching live because you don't have to work tomorrow. A gummy bear crawling around in your gut. Yes, we're going to talk about a gummy bear crawling in your gut on a tech show. More importantly, we're going to talk about, is Google stupid? We're going to talk about Facebook on forbidding usage of their website for surveillance. And a kid comes up with the best net neutrality description yet, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1184 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, March 13th. The show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the brand new listeners. And for anyone that is checking this show out for the very first time, it's welcome to the podcast, and I got a great show lined up for you. Of course, I want to extend a warm welcome to all the longtime viewers and listeners, all the folks that are part of the Ohana here. And Ohana in Hawaiian means family. We truly are a tight family, and I just want to, again, say hello to everyone out there that is a longtime subscriber. Some of you have been here since double digits, and I definitely appreciate your ongoing support as we head into our 13th anniversary of the show later this year. But wow, amazing run. But again, if you're brand new to the show, the most important thing for you to do today is to visit geeknewscentral.com. And when you get over to the website, all you want to do is subscribe to the show. And right on the right-hand column of the website, there's a place for iTunes via Android, via email, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, on TuneIn. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just click the more subscribe options and I'll give the explanation on how to get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode. A little bit further down the page is a place to sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter basically contains everything I'm going to talk about during the show today, and you will get an email with basically everything that's in the blog post that goes up on the website. It's no more than that, but we definitely want you to get signed up for the newsletter. That way you'll get reminded that there's a new show out. Link will be already there. You can just click and listen. But if you're subscribed, it'll automatically come into your mobile device and you can catch me while you're on the bus or in the car or walking the dog, whatever it may be. In the house, you can catch the show a variety of ways too. But definitely get subscribed to the show. Of course, if you've got comments about today's show, it's real easy to get hooked up by contacting me via email at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow on Twitter at geeknews as well. Send me an email if you want to be on our Slack channel. And our Slack channel is just a chit-chat channel where you can freely talk with Ohana members. So send an email to that at geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you on there. Just send me the email address you want to use, and we'll hook you up. Follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook, just by searching for my name. And of course, you can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast app or channel on the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch or view on Blueberry. You can tell Google Home. You can say, okay, beep, play the podcast Geek News Central. And the reason I don't say the other word that I beeped out is because I have a Google Home sitting right here in the studio, and it would start playing the latest edition of the shows. Of course, partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, the Big Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain. We've got the Pro Gear site being written by the GNC team. All of this would not be possible without our longtime sponsor, GoDaddy.com. And matter of fact, I had a call with GoDaddy today. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. But, what it boils down to, and really, I'm really excited to kind of give you a hint on what I saw or what I was demoed. But first and foremost, if you're a business owner and you're thinking about making a switch or you're looking to launch a new website, just wait. If you have to do something in the next couple of weeks, just, you know, a couple of weeks I'll have the information for you, but it's something awesome. But in the meantime, if you want to get a managed WordPress site or just standard economy hosting, or if you want to get a 99cent.com, again, go over to my webpage, geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy, where we can save you 30% on new product purchases by using my promo code CJCGNC30. Get a 99cent.com by using the code CJCGNC99. You can get the $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year. That's $12. You get a free domain and a web, basically everything to get going for $1 a month. And of course, that managed WordPress hosting has got everything. It's got shopping carts, you name it. It's got everything you need really to do just a huge site. Now, definitely look at the pricing, what it's going to revert to at the end of the 12 months. And remember, when you use those codes, GoDaddy will set you up initially. They'll put you in the register with a 24-month plan. You're going to say, where'd that $12 deal go, Todd? Just change the period back to a year, and you'll get that $12 plan, okay? And I scolded them a little bit today for doing that, because I think that makes some of you stop and go, whoa, what's this deal? I thought it was just $12. Again, change the period back to a year. I know what they're trying to do there. They're trying to lock in for 2 years, but what this deal is, it's a $12 deal. And I want you to get the most benefit out of it. See if the site that you want to launch is, you know, what you want to launch. And if it's going to work out for $12, you can't go wrong. So again, geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy is where all the codes are at. And share my codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. This is the way we make things go here. Anyway, I want to thank GoDaddy for being the longest continuing sponsor of any podcast in the universe. And we appreciate their ongoing support. I've got a few things I want to chit-chat here about real quick before we get into the content. And I'm waiting for SpaceX to start their event. And let me look what's going on here. Are they live yet? It's live stream. They're supposed to put a satellite in orbit, I mean, soon. So I don't know if they've scrubbed for the day, but the live event was supposed to start. And it was actually, I think the launch time is like quick, before the top of the hour. So maybe they're scrubbed for today. I was going to hope to give you guys a play-by-play. Let me load the page. I don't see any news. I got the Watch Live dealio here. So we'll see if they come up and start the live event. But if we do, we'll take care of it. Let me just share with you. I scheduled this last week to do a call with GoDaddy, and I had my rep on the phone along with Chris, the gal that actually was the one that hooked me up with GoDaddy as a sponsor in 2005. And we had went 6 months, 6 minutes over, a 36-minute call with them. And they demoed to me some new stuff that they're launching. And we went through it relatively fast. I was like, I think I said wow about 20 times in a row. Asked a couple of pertinent questions, and they said, well, that isn't going to be available for a couple of weeks. I'm like, okay, I don't want to introduce this to the audience until this other piece is done. But if you're a small business owner or you're starting a business, please, if you're going to launch in the next couple of days or a couple of weeks, let me know, and I'll tell you privately. But I'm going to have a very exciting new thing to help you get up and running. And it was really jazz to look at this. So I'll probably be doing some demos and putting some videos up on the website. We just got to work out a few details, and primarily got to make sure that, I just got to make sure those details are in place before we launch with this. But I'm really, really excited. So the call with them went great today. And I didn't get a real chance to even catch up with Chris. We talked story just a little itty bitty bit. So I have to set up a call with her again just to chit chat. But they're really thinking over there. And I commended them for coming up with this new system and and the depth that it goes to. So anyway, small business owners, I'm going to have something really cool to share with you here in the coming weeks. Also, accountant call, business taxes are done. Of course, today is the 13th. Tomorrow's the 14th. They're due by the 15th. So I'm going to go check in hand tomorrow, pay the accountant, pick up the taxes, go straight to the mailbox and send them in. So nothing like being close on my chinny chin chin. So she gave me the totals already. I'm pretty pleased with 2016, how everything turned out. And just need to figure out how much my check will be, because I have a S-Corp and the earnings or loss roll into my regular income. So look forward now to getting the personal taxes done, which includes the everything will have to be from the taxes I'm mailing tomorrow. But I know you guys are sick of hearing this, but it's always quite the process for me. Also, I'm happy to say my network tech storage device from Synology, my 5-drive system that I absolutely love, that I was turned on to by Podcast Jack or by TriCaster Jack for basically, this thing is awesome. So if you're looking for a network attached storage device, I cannot speak more highly for Synology for a home solution. If you have multiple computers, I've got, really, it's kind of insane the number of computers around here. So they're all being backed up into this. And then really the really important ones, the 2 or 3 machines that are like the everyday workers, not the machine over here that's the podcast machine. I've got a backup of that. I need to reimage it. It's easy, but it only does podcast work. But this one here has my life. I have Carbonite on it, and that goes to the cloud. And I also have, so I'm like triple backed up of the machines. And if I ever lose data, it will be no one's fault but my own. But it put 4 brand new 6-terabyte drives in the NAS. So now I've got some growth to grow. And the next thing that we'll put in that will be an expansion unit. Got to save a few more pennies, because the money I just spent to buy the drives, we're going to have to wait a little while. You guys will have to continue to buy stuff from the sponsor. But other than that, the NAS is updated. It took a week to rotate 4 new drives in. And so there's 4 6-terabytes and 1 5-terabyte. So I'm pretty happy with that. And it's in Synology's what they call SHR, Network Attached Storage model. It's a RAID format that's proprietary to them. But I've got some overhead now for that device. So I don't know what's going on. I guess SpaceX is not going. They must be scrubbing, because everything I know, they're supposed to be launching. What else have I got in my stack here? Oh, my son's been using my MacBook Pro, and he left this morning for the Big Island for a middle school class tour. And so I brought it into the studio tonight, plugged it in, got it set up, and it's given me this error message around the battery. It says, service soon. So this is a MacBook that is about, I'll have to look at the date, it's still a 17-inch, it's 6 or 7 years old, maybe 6. And it looks like the battery is finally given up the ghost, so I'll make an appointment and get it in. It's still a great laptop, so I'm going to go ahead and get the battery replaced. I don't know if that's going to set me back, but if it isn't one thing, it's another. So it goes in for servicing. This past weekend on Sunday, I did a friend of mine, his son was getting married on the beach, and he asked me to stream his son's wedding. And it was just a nice little beach wedding, 40 or 50 family and friends, and out in a remote area of Oahu. And you think, okay, Oahu of an island is not that big, but basically you go to the west side and you keep on going and going and going. It's 25 miles from here, but with traffic and everything, it takes about an hour to get up there. You're at where the road ends, essentially, at a beach. And the cell signal down there was not great. So I was debating, what do I do? I can't take a full kit. I can't, I don't want to be in front of all the guests. So I took the Mevo, and the Mevo, really was the perfect device to stream this guy's wedding. But I had not done the Mevo outside, and I was got there plenty early and got things set up, and we had three people on wireless mics. And, you know, sometimes an individual can be really stupid, and I had what I would call the ultimate stupid idiot moment that I think I've had in a long, long time. So I'm sitting around here trying, cracking my head open 2 days before, thinking about what do I do to get three wireless devices into the iPad that will be controlling this. And I'm not thinking this through. And I thought, oh, if I had a little portable mixer, that would be best because I could just plug the three wireless mics into the portable mixer and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't have a portable mixer, nothing that's battery powered. Came up with a different solution that was less than optimal. The audio was not great, and there wasn't a lot of people on the mainland watching, but bad, and there was enough that it really wasn't up to par and where I wanted the audio to be. And the audio seems to be the thing that always kicks people's butt. That's the thing that just does you in. So I get home, and you know, my son Chris went with me, and I let him run around with the camera, and he shot, you know, 400 or 500 pictures, more than the actual wedding cameraman did. So he was getting, I told him to make sure you get up pictures of the guest, and you know, and so he just went around and went crazy. I'm gonna turn over that and give them a DVD of that in a couple of days. But so I get home, and what do? I get on Amazon, and I Google portable battery powered mixers. And the first thing that comes up is the Zune H6N. And I'm looking at this, and I turn over here, and matter of fact, let me show you guys. I have this little black bag that I travel with. And inside that bag is a Zoom H6 handy recorder. The exact device that I needed for this event. And I've got the extension that I can do up to 6 channels on it. Absolute perfect device. And guess what else it does? It records. So even if your stream recording goes bad and you get good video, you can at least recover. I don't know, folks, what I was thinking, but I felt like a total jackass when I came home, and I was overthinking it. I was absolutely overthinking it. And everything I was looking at, and you know, the search results came up, and everything that was on the list was substandard to what I would want to use and I already had one here. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with you? So it sometimes you just have to be smacked up against the head and I've been doing this how many years? And this was really the kind of the first really remote, no place to plug into a network type of wedding live streaming thing that I'd done in a while. Everything was good execution, just blew it on the audio chain. So you guys are you're laughing at me, but I begin to wonder what, you know, why. You know, I left the house twice without my wallet this past weekend. I told my son, I think I'm having a senior moment. You know, I'm halfway down the hill. I know I had to go get gas, and I have no wallet in my pocket. I have to turn around and come back. And I did it twice in a weekend. I'm just like, and then what it really is I need to get the assistant hired to help me out because I just too much stuff going on. And I really felt dumb. I really, really did. So I had to share it with you. And it's not tech news, but wow. Really, really wow. So to basically now I'm like, okay, this is enough. Cause I go with like this loose kit. So I've ordered two cases. Did you guys know that Amazon sells Amazon basic Pelican like cases that are about half price than what a Pelican case cost? I didn't know if you guys knew that or not. I found that out on Sunday. So I I needed one box a little bit bigger than what Amazon sold, but I ordered the biggest Amazon basic Pelican-like case and one that's a little bit bigger actually from Pelican. And to really get this thing dialed in, I'm going to build a kit and kit it out and have it all set up so I'm not throwing this stuff together at the last minute. It's wired. I just get there. I pop the lid. I turn the things on. I put the wireless on the folks. But one thing was a weakness on the Mevo. Can't be too far away from it, from a Wi-Fi signal. It is a little bit of a weakness distance-wise. As long as you stay within about 25 feet of it, you're good. But if you get much, because, you know, I'm trying to stay out of the wedding thing, and you would think, okay, I'm at the beach. I should have no problem with the Wi-Fi signal. It was a little hokey. So just can't get too far from it. And I thought it was maybe a Bluetooth issue, but it wasn't. It was purely a Wi-Fi thing. So I learned that with the Mevo too. So just lessons learned. And sometimes you just, the only way you learn is by doing it and getting your butt kicked. And, you know, the people were happy because it was, you know, folks in the mainland, and, you know, the audio was, you know, good enough. They could hear it, but it wasn't Geek News Central quality audio. That's what I want. All right, let's go ahead and we'll get into the full content of the show tonight. Kind of a weird news day, to be honest with you. And I guess SpaceX is scrubbed, because I think we're past their launch window. They've got a window. They got like a 90-minute window, so they've got a pretty big launch window, so maybe they're running a little late. And should be watching their Twitter feed. If someone's watching live, and you can look at the SpaceX Twitter feed, I would appreciate it. But many of you are snowbound or getting a lot of snow right now. So there was that new weather satellite that they've got up is taking some pretty cool pictures. Matter of fact, I was talking with some folks on the East Coast today that are we're getting ready for this 12 to 18 inches. So they are, here's the official word, standing down due to high winds working towards next available launch opportunity. So they're not launching tonight. Shoot, I thought we were going to get a launch tonight on the show live. That's cool. But those of you on the East Coast, hopefully enjoy your last big snow of the season. We'll see. But the GOES 16 satellite producing some pretty amazing images. One story I thought that kind of grossed me out was, they're talking about us being able to have eat or have edible edible probes, and where they basically you swallow this probe and it takes pictures inside your gut and does all kinds of stuff to determine your health status. And so they're trying to come up now with devices that looks a lot like gummy bears, and that's how they refer to it in this article. It's a little bit, okay, Flash is going to crash. I swear to goodness, Flash just sucks. It really, really does. Anyway, so it's a little probe that reacts to what's in our guts to be able to move. And they say this thing will be able to kind of like caterpillar through your intestines, which is a little sickening if you ask me. And, but boy, oh boy, it won't be long before the doc says, here's this piece of candy. Go ahead and take it. And then we'll see how it works out for you. And, you swallow that thing and a couple days later, they've got all the data they need, and you expel it how you normally do. But they're working with chefs and everything to come up with something that actually tastes good that you can swallow with sensors in it. It seems a little weird. So if you're handed a jelly bean or a handed something from someone that is a gummy bear, you better look at it, make sure there's not something inside it. Okay, a couple of shows ago, we talked a little bit about our devices that we're using. And we talked about Google's featured snippet being worse than particularly fake news. And there was a huge amount of coverage on that. And there's another kind of follow-up to that article today. And as people have dug in to this, they've been basically working with Google Home to see how bad the device really is. So, and Alexa in the same instance. Now, today I was asking Google a series of questions that had preloaded 4 or 5 websites that had Google snippets on it. I know how to see these types of pages now. And I was asking Google Home specific questions, or specific search type questions that would invoke a reaction that is supposed to quote what is in the Google snippet. And I only got it to respond 2 or 3 times a pretty big series of questions that I asked it. And it said, I don't know what to do with that. I can't respond to that. It was basically, it appears to me that Google may have made some changes to make the Google Home device not as responsive to some of the stuff that you would normally find in the search engines. So Google has dumbed down, it appears to me, at least in the test I did, it appears to me that they've dumbed down Google Home just a little bit. And I didn't do this test with Alexa. So I think what we have to do, and this is just a caution for all of you out there, as you're playing around with Alexa and Google Home and Siri and Cortana and everything else that's out there, and you're asking it questions, unless it's simple, like, you know, you can ask Cortana math questions. You can ask Alexa weather. You can have Google Home give you the latest news. You know, those basic kinds of things where you're being provided information is probably pretty safe. But when you're starting to try to get complex answers out of these devices, you are probably going to be getting a lot of bad answers. And that, or you're going to get an answer where it's not even right. So with billions of requests going into these devices, whether it be Google, Siri, Alexa, it's amazing that they're able to respond at all. But we have to take into account that the stuff that's being replied to by these devices and giving us verbal responses should be questioned, especially if you're asking a complex question. So you can put in same search engine, you know, you can go to Google and put in type in your question via the search engine, and often in times you're going to get a response. Now I want to show you all, for those of you that are watching, and specifically for those of you that are listening, I want you to come to this part of the show and basically look at the, come on now. I'm trying to load a page here and it didn't do what it was supposed to do. All right, I'm going to close you. You don't want to cooperate. All right, there we go. And I'll get this loaded for you so that those of you that are watching the show, the 20% of you that watch the show, and you know, tonight, Firefox is like completely letting me down. What are you doing? Oh my gosh, paste and go. That means load the page. And it's just sitting here like spinning wheels. It's not doing anything. I've had more and more and more trouble with Firefox as of recent. And I don't know why. So let's try to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm just sitting here and it's like refusing, and I don't dare close the browser because it's also run the YouTube stream, but it's refusing to load the page. What is it, because Flash crashed? You know, this is where, when I'm doing the show like this, that I just want to, it's like not even showing my cursor. I have no clue what it's doing and why it won't show anything. So I guess we're not going to be able to show anything on the screen because this stupid thing is not, wow, I have no idea what's, I've never seen that. Let me show you what I've got. You've got the YouTube stream page going. We got another tab here, and I paste in the URL. Now it's loading. It knew I was showing people, right? And it decided, oh my God, unbelievable. So for those of you that are watching, when you do a search result and you see a box, and it has below the box about this result, and there's a feedback link underneath it. And it's basically, it'll be in the right underneath normally the ads, and then this Google snippet will show up. When you see a box like this, this is the box that Google has, and it's a algorithm, has determined to be like the best sourced information on a search result. And let me show you something for those of you that are watching. Let me show you how a Google snippet looks that is for a site that has something authoritative to it. And I think you will see, and I'm blowing it up for you, I think you will see on that page that there's something there familiar for many of you. So this is a Google snippet, and, you know, basically something that leads back to Geek News Central. But this particular search result, which gives absolutely incorrect information, leads to a site that you probably have no idea who it is, but it's what Google's picked as the authoritative pick. So be careful on these to make sure that when you're clicking on the results on these Google snippets, that it's from an authoritative source. And I just can't really, and this is, these non-authoritative sources is what's ending up in these devices, especially in Google. So, going back to what I said, you got to be careful. Google can be stupid sometimes. And, you know, the search engine with millions and millions and millions of queries being, or probably billions of queries, they don't always get it right. So, just, again, be very, very careful. Not even some of the main news sources are right these days. But anyway, that's something I wanted to talk a little bit more on. Hey, Facebook has forbid developers from using data for surveillance. So that's a big change. And they worked with the ACLU to come up with a new policy change. And this was basically based upon Facebook finding out early in the year that three companies that had data being collected, they were collecting data on Facebook users, was being used by law enforcement without warrants. And they were keeping eyes on protesters following the death of Freddie Gray in Baltimore last year. So, you know, the companies made this big change, and they basically said, you shall not, if you tie into our system, use this for any type of data surveillance. So, good on Facebook for doing that. Net neutrality, of course, you know, we've been talking about it a lot here in the show, but I had to laugh. There is a gentleman that was explaining to his 9-year-old what net neutrality was, and he heard him talking to one of his friends. So this is the 9-year-old talking to his friends, and this is how he described net neutrality. And I dare say this is probably as close as you're going to get to probably, you know, if this is a great way to explain it to a kid, and maybe even some adults out there. The 9-year-old says, pretend ice cream stores give away free milkshakes, but you had to buy a straw to drink them. But that's okay because you still get a free milkshake. One day, you're drinking a free milkshake and you look down and the guy that sold you the straw is pinching it almost shut. You can still get your milkshake, but it's really hard and takes a lot longer. So you say, hey, stop that, And the straw guy says, no, not until the ice cream store pays me money. And you say, but I already paid you money for the straw. And the straw guy says, I don't care. I just want more money. I think the young lad nailed it, don't you? So I think this is going to be, I'm going to bookmark this. This is an article that's over on, or a post on Reddit. And when people are talking about net neutrality and what could happen, I want you guys to tell the ice cream store story and about the straw. I think it's just about perfect. So bravo for the nine-year-old. Whether or not an actual nine-year-old really did this, I don't know. But the dad said he did. But I think this is pretty cool. The link will be up in the show notes. I know many of you are thinking about cutting a cord, or maybe you have already, but I found an article over on makeuseof.com. And I try to not post a lot of their stuff because oftentimes they're just puff pieces. But sometimes someone that's looking to cut the cord probably needs to have a kind of list of options, positive and negative. And they go through all the big ones here and talks about the plus and minuses, what you can get, what you can't get. Hulu, Netflix, they talk about Vudu, DVD.com, they talk about Amazon Prime, talk about Walmart, we talk about just a variety of websites here that you, where you can get a lot of content you can buy for series and so forth. Talking about even Best Buy and Fandango and a variety of sites like that. So, and also the networks that will let you buy a package on a monthly basis to like NBC, ABC, PBS, Fox, Discovery, and so forth. So if you're thinking about cutting the cord, this is a pretty good starter resource. And for those of you that have cut the cord, if you look through this article, what did they miss? What are some good resources? And we should build a resource list for the Ohana here so that as people are cutting the cord, they have something to go to find all the options. A lot of folks that are South by Southwest are finding out that there's no Uber or Lyft in Austin. Uber and Lyft pulled out of Austin, I believe, early this year, largely because they were going to require their drivers to be fingerprinted. But the South by Southwest folks are not happy having to stand in taxi cab lines and get on a bus and do all the old-fashioned way of moving around. But a lot of people were tweeting and really not being very positive to the city of Austin. But one lady that lives in Austin, and I can understand the mayhem that causes by South by Southwest, she says, on behalf of Austin, I'd like to apologize for the lack of Uber at South by Southwest. Please go back to LA and never return to our backward little town. Well, South by Southwest is attended by a lot more folks than just people from LA. So I think that was a little narrow-minded on her part. And then the amount of money that comes into that economy there is huge because it's one of the most expensive conferences in the United States to go to because they jack the hotel prices. I mean, it's ridiculous how much the rooms cost during South By. Also announced by HBO, it's official, the Game of Thrones 8th season will be just 6 episodes long. So that's just very, very sad. But we'll see. We're going to see 7 this summer, but the 8th season will only be 6 episodes. Spotify. I have to laugh at Spotify. Matter of fact, I'm not a big fan of Spotify when it comes to podcasts. There's this big article. Spotify's lands 2 dope queens and other hit WNYC podcast. I'm sure they were very voluntarily letting them put on Spotify. Spotify has limited podcasts on it. It's been very difficult to get into the Spotify platform. Very small team over there. And they're trying to make more. Please, I'm asking you, do not listen to podcasts on Spotify. If you can do anything for me, if you're listening to podcasts on Spotify now, please go and go to TuneIn or go to the Apple Store or Google Play, anywhere but Spotify. Do not reward Spotify because the way they've gone about their podcast implementation is not great. And the same thing with iHeartRadio. Our clothing, that we wear may become as smart as a smartwatch. You may be wearing clothing soon that will have stealthy heart rate sensors and a variety of other types of sensors to do some, monitoring of your health. And they are washing machine friendly, so it's not like you just wear one. You could theoretically slip on an everyday shirt or cap to track your beats per minute, and you could toss it in with the rest of your laundry at the end of the day, and it would live to work again. It's a new fiber crafted by melting and spinning two polymers, one that transmits light-based data and another that serves as a coating. That's no mean feat, the team tells Popular Science. You can't usually melt and spin optical fibers, and this technique allows for much higher production volumes. And researchers are currently interested in catering to hospitals, which could use sensor-equipped clothing to monitor vitals without risking the sores that come from wearing traditional sensors. And so very, very cool. So we'll see what comes up with wearable, monitorable stuff. And people with heart conditions and are at risk for heart attack, I think that would be brilliant. A doctor could get a pre-alert if something's going on. It's going to not maybe help you very much in the moment, but may give the doctor the advance notice that maybe you need to come in and get checked out. Volvo's first electric vehicle is reported to will cost less than $40,000. They're saying it will also run for at least 250 miles on a charge. So how Volvo's going to carry over their premium brand is going to be very interesting because, Volvo's usually a little pricier, especially when you get them into the repair shop. I owned a Volvo for a number of years, never again. Adam Curry over in at No Agenda Show just got to drive a Tesla for a few days, and he had some interesting comments on it. So if you want to listen to a real review about a guy that will tell you the facts, listen to show 9/11 on the No Agenda Show. He'll take you into his Tesla experience. All right, PlayStation 4 games are finally coming to PlayStation Now. So those of you that are using PlayStation Now and paying for that, they're going to be receive some more current games later this year. A private beta for PS4 game support will launch in the coming week, Sony announced today on the PlayStation blog. PlayStation Now subscribers get first dibs on testing out the upcoming update. The post states Sony has yet to specify which PS4 games will be included in PlayStation Now first wave or when the feature will launch to all users, although the service concurrently offers a wide variety of titles for the console's predecessor. So if you're a gamer, that's probably good news. Airbnb CEO Brian Chesky hints at a 2018 IPO. With as much money as been invested in this company, I'm sure it will be a hot stock to handle or a hot stock to launch. So we'll see if they're able to pull this off and have a good, because they've had multi-billion dollars of investment. So the investors are definitely looking for a huge return on this. Intel, again, disclaimer, I own Intel stock. Intel has joined Silicon Valley race to make best server on wheels. Intel Corp agreed to buy Israeli car company Pioneer Mobile NV for $15.3 billion. This is one of the chipmaker's biggest acquisitions ever and the latest bet on Silicon Valley's vision of cars as turbocharged computer on wheels. So, wow. $15.3 billion. The deal, which accounts to 34% premium over Mobileye's closing share price. Whew. As long as it makes my stock go up, I'm good. So, anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that, all right? Finally, the Senate is getting involved. A Senate bill would require a warrant for border phone searches. And I don't know if we've heard about this before. It's the first, and I thought I heard rumors of this earlier, and maybe we talked about it. But there is something in progress here. So we'll see if this actually makes it through. But, they can search your, if you go into most other countries, they can search all your electronic devices, but it would be nice if they had to get a warrant to do so, to search your electronic device, at least you'd have a judge to say A or nay on that. Also, a lot of folks that are getting pulled over by police officers are filming them, whether with their cell phones or camera in their car. There's been a few cases here recently, specifically in Texas, where people were pulled over and told that it was against the law. There was a newly formed law that prevents people from recording a stop, which was absolutely incorrect. It was false. Police were citing stuff that did not exist. So the mistake was made when they pulled over a lawyer who knew the law. So if you're getting pulled over and you're recording police officers, or if you are planning to do that someday, you should check in your state and locality to see what the rules really are. I don't think there's very many places that actually ban it, but it would also be good for you if you're planning on recording a police stop of you. And be advised, if you do that, you're probably going to get a ticket. But you probably should check the rules on that if you want to make sure that you don't get in trouble. But they get, you know, police officers get awful funny about it. I think if you tell them up front that you're recording them, that definitely makes the stop go a little bit more professional, but also can make police officers that maybe were going to give you a warning a little bit. So it's a double-edged sword. Yes, S-W-O-R-D, like you fall on your sword. So anyway, just be advised that you know what your rights are in your specific state or municipality. Marissa Mayer, the prior presidential candidate, she is going to get $23 million golden parachute when Verizon completes the Yahoo purchase. So $23 million for having a significant loss of the company. Now, some other folks that are on part of the team are going to get anywhere between $9 and $16 million, which is just insane as a bonus for a losing company. It's just wow. It really, really is. When Raw Voice, my company, gets bought, I want the $23 million golden parachute too for having a profitable company. Hey, the Air Force is hiring. They have more jobs available for drone pilots. And this is the future. There's going to be a lot more guys that are flying drones out of a trailer. So they're looking for drone pilots. They've got nearly 1,000 drone pilots. Now, if this gives you let me give you a comparison for the Air Force. There's 900 pilots that fly the actual C-17 Globemaster. That's a military transport. They have 800 pilots that fly the F-16 Fighting Falcon jet fighter. So they've got 1,000 people flying drones. That gives you of course, you know, if you think about it, the F-16 goes up for about, maybe 3 hours would be the max. The C-17 Globemaster can essentially fly around the globe, so 12, 15, 16 hours of continuous flight time, and it usually has one or two, maybe an off-duty pilot. But in the drone world, you know, these guys fly a shift and the drone's still up. They do a swap out and another guy comes into the seat and does another 8 hours. So these, you know, these drones are up for a long, long time. And so that's why they need more pilots. They need more butts in the seats. So, you know, example to have 100 drones in the air, which I don't know if they'll ever have that many in the air or not. Maybe they do. You know, you're talking about at least 300 pilots in rotation. So it doesn't surprise me here that they need 1,000 pilots. So if you're looking for a career, the Air Force is definitely hiring drone pilots. If you've been using Google Cloud, they've just introduced some new support options. And if you want to talk to someone at Google, they're going to have it on a per user basis. The cheapest tier costs $100 per user per month. Is meant for those folks and get by with receiving response within 4 to 8 business hours of their request. Production engineering support is the next tier up, costs $250 per user per month for a 1 hour response time. And then those folks that you need to talk to someone right now, it's $1,500 per user per month, and those requests get a 15-minute response time. This is all about the Google Cloud products. So, wow, that's an interesting pricing stack. But at $1,500, you can get someone on the phone in 15 minutes. That's pretty cool. A little bit of a rumor here on iPads. There's four new iPad models spotted in weblogs. And so it looks like four new Pro versions potentially. So when they start showing them up in log files, that usually means that they're not very far behind. So I'm sure we'll be hearing about an Apple event at some time here in the very, very near future. They're not going to have one of their already pre-scheduled events, but don't be surprised to see a refresh. When I was on Facebook a couple of days ago, I got served an ad from Apple. And I'll be honest with you, it was the stupidest ad I think I've seen in a long time. And it's a new Apple iMessage ad that they try to convince you that stickers are cool. Apple's latest iPhone ad debuted, highlighting the stickers feature that comes to iMessage. I'm sorry. It just did nothing for me. It looked like the most dorky thing I have seen in a long while. I didn't get it. So I encourage some of you that listen to the show that have kids, show this off. Think your kids think it's cool. I honestly didn't, to be honest with you. Hey, this is something Chicago should put in place. Los Angeles is testing gunshot sensors on light poles, and they're going to use this platform to be able to triangulate where a gunshot comes from. New York City already is monitoring gunshot sounds with sophisticated rooftop sensor technology. But they're going to start putting this in L.A., and it's going to be tested on 25,000 poles that already have wireless controllers installed for turning the city's streetlights on and off. And so they're going to go into this gunshot detection in Los Angeles to be able to get a triangulation immediately. Maybe they've already got this in Chicago, I don't know. But if they don't, they definitely need it. A little bit of a weird one. Since the change of administration in the inauguration, of course, there's been a rotation of people that were in the previous administration and politically appointed to positions that have been on their way out with the new appointees on the way in. But over at the patent office, a lot of folks are not happy that it appears that the administrative director is not, that role is not changing. Michelle K. Lee, the director of the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and Anthony P. Scardano, is the acting deputy director of the United States Patent and Trademark Office, are not going to, it appears at this point, will be a holdover from the previous administration and will not be replaced. And a lot of people are wanted to see her specifically gone. Big business wanted her gone because she's basically saying some patents are frivolous. And so she's kind of on our side in this case. So it's an interesting move here. The folks that may have been gunning for the slot may not have been as good for us. So we'll see where this leads for at least the patent office and patent reform. New York City has sued Verizon. They're saying that 1 million New York City homes cannot get Verizon Fios, even though the agreement that they made with Verizon explicitly said that they had to ensure that every home fiber was built out either in front or behind those homes to be able to deliver service. And over a million New York City folks of 3.2 million, 2.7 to 3.2 are, no, 3. How many? There's estimated 3.1 million households with only 2.2 currently being served. So a little under a million. So they're suing Verizon, say, you need to finish this up. Verizon really, they must not be making very much money with Fios. If you have a trademark, and my company has several, you have to protect your trademark. We've had to do several legal notices to companies that were infringing on our trademark. And if you don't actively protect your trademark, you can lose it. So we've actually licensed several of our trademarks to companies that wanted to use the word and it didn't compete in our space. So we've, you know, actively, we watch our trademark terms religiously. Well, Dropbox filed for the Dropbox term in 2009. There was another company that was called Through Dropbox, THRU Dropbox, that had a registered trademark already. And that company did not defend its trademark, and it could have forced Dropbox to, in the early days, either pay a licensing fee or made them probably change their company name. Well, as soon as Dropbox went public, Through Incorporated sued Dropbox for trademark infringement. And during the lawsuit, during the discovery phase, when emails and such had to be turned over, looks like Through was waiting for Dropbox to go public and then figured there was going to be a big cash payday. Well, Through Incorporated didn't hit the lotto. The judge has awarded Dropbox, the company that a lot of us use, more than $2 million in legal fees over the win that went to Dropbox. And so this is huge. If you have a trademark out there, don't think it's going to be a big payday later. Protect your trademark early on. And usually you can get licensing payments that will, you know, make it more than right if a company is not competing in your space. More and more now at events that I go to, I just see people that just their heads are always in their phones. And I've went to like trying not to have my head in my phone as much. But there's a big discussion about it at South by Southwest about folks that are all they're doing is staring at their phones and not interacting with one another. The South by Southwest used to be this big event where you went to, especially the 35 and younger crowd, where they went to network and meet people and talk about stuff and, you know, jobs. And it was a great networking opportunity and a big party too. But with everyone in their heads and their phones, they're saying it's not as cool as it used to be, which makes you go, just a little bit. We're all becoming introverts a little bit, aren't we? A chatbot that was built by a 19-year-old UK student, which helped a lot of people get out of parking tickets. He actually helped folks save over $4 million in tickets. Well, basically, he had over $4 million in tickets dismissed. Has come up with a new chatbot to help folks that are trying to apply for refugee status. And it takes them through a series of questions to be able to tell them which asylum form to file. By basically asking the refugee applicant about 10 minutes worth of questions. I don't know if it works only in English or not, but it guides them to the right application to help folks that are applying for refugee status, which is kind of interesting. So we'll see how this works out for him. First, he saves folks money, and the next thing he does is he's helping people get their refugee status applied. You know, what I've been doing lately here is I've got just a whole bunch of miscellaneous adapters, plugs, you name it. It kind of runs the gamut. Matter of fact, we had a whole stack of stuff spread out on the, and it's just from, you know, years of different adapters and plugs and trying to kind of get a handle because I couldn't find an SD card reader today. Like I had three or four of them in the house. They all disappeared. Most of these devices that are in our vehicles now will take a 2.4 amp plug versus the lower amperage. So I'm just kind of getting rid of a bunch of stuff that is not as efficient. And we'll have a little garage sale and, you know, sell this stuff for a quarter a piece. Most of the stuff came from vendors anyway. But a car charger that caught my eye recently is something called AllKey. And it's basically, it's a two port, goes in your cigarette lighter. It has two 2.4 amps. And what I like about it, it goes in flush up against the cigarette lighter. It doesn't stick out a whole bunch. It goes flat. And most of those chargers today, they stick out horribly. And it drives me crazy. They're always getting banged and in the way. So Amazon has them for $7 today. And you can use the promo code AUKEY car. So I picked up, basically counted the number of plugs in all the vehicles. My wife's car has two, my car has three, so I ordered five of these. And just because they mount nice and smooth and flat, so it's a flush fit, and I think that's big. I just like stuff being a little bit more uniform. Let me see if I can give you a look and what it actually looks like on Amazon. So again, this is not an affiliate code or anything. I'll have a link up in the show notes. I'm not making any money off this. But again, it's normally like 10 bucks a piece, but they're available for $7. Really like them. Another thing that I told you today that I was not able to find was all these SD card readers. And I'm very impatient when I'm trying to find peripherals, and it's my kids that are guilty. I sent out a mass text to my son, my daughter, and basically the two were there on cell phones, and they both said they had absconded a couple here, and one is at my kids. So they've been just basically taking them. So as I was getting ready to buy the stuff on Amazon today with the car charger, I went and did a SD card reader. And they're selling them for like $6 now. So I made sure that I have one for every member of my family. I ordered five. And everyone's going to get one. I'm going to actually stencil their name on them. And so that they'll never hopefully take one of mine. It does both an SD and micro SD. Again, real small deal that plugs into the USB stick. It's not like this big, huge dongle. So it'll be my fault if I lose one in the future. But it's just that kind of stuff that just drives me crazy when I can't find it. And I just love being able to quickly go on Amazon and just find the stuff that I want, relatively inexpensive, and order it. So just a couple of things for you today that, you know, pet peeve of mine that I fixed on my own. All right, a couple of articles that came to mind. There's a good article on The Verge talking about Pandora Premium. The original music streaming giant is ready for prime time. Just over 15 months after Pandora acquired key assets from radio, and 3 months after it announced its plans, the company is ready to launch its full-fledged on-demand music service, Pandora Premium. It's going to be $10 a month with millions of songs that you can listen to at will and save online whenever you want. There are workout and driving mixes, a radio feature, but Pandora's worked to separate itself from the rapidly growing pack of streaming services with a slew of personalization features. And the least complicated music app to date. I think I like Pandora app one of the best myself. So that's an announcement that was made. Also, here's something that was crazy. A new report from the RAND Corporation may help shed light on the government's arsenal of malicious software that was basically announced that was being used by government agencies, and zero-day hacks. And essentially, they found huge. RAND's report is based on unprecedented access to debates of zero days from a company that sells them to the government and other customers on the gray market. The collection contains 200 entries, about the same number of 0 days some experts believe the government to have. RAND found that the exploits have an average lifespan of, hold your hat, 6.9 years before the vulnerability each target was disclosed to software maker to be fixed, or before the vendor made upgrades to the code that unwittingly eliminated the security hole. Some of the exploits survived even longer than this, about 25%, had a lifespan of a decade or longer, but another 25% survived less than 18 months before they were patched. So with a zero-day hack having a life expectancy average of 6.9 years, wow. Wow. And then they went and looked at websites. And what blew them away even more was that, like, the top 100 websites, many of them had one or more of the vulnerabilities against them. I think we're going to hear a lot more about zero-day hacks. The great article over on The Intercept. Great article. JavaScript 2 is an insecure mess. How it's turning the web into a hacker's playground. Analysis of 133,000 websites has found 37% have at least one JavaScript library with a known vulnerability. That's just crazy. They looked at domains from Amazon Alexa's top 75,000 list and 75,000 randomly selected .com domains, accessing 72 different libraries and respective versions. Overall, 87% of the Alexa sites and 46.5% of the .com sites used one of the 72 libraries that had a vulnerability. The study found that 36.7% of jQuery and 40.1% of Angular, 86.6% of Handlebars, and 87.3% of YUI inclusions use a vulnerable version. I'm going to send this article to my CIO and make him lose his mind. Lots of insecure websites out there, and these zero-day hacks, it just is a combination for disaster. All right, a couple things from coast to coast. Strange patterns on an Icelandic lake has stumped officials. Hey, this is no-brainer. When you guys see this, you're going to be like, yeah, I know what this is. You're going to look at this image, you're going to go, hey, it looks like someone opened the garage door. A very unique split to the ice. Looks like someone basically split the ice and let something up and put it back together. I must say it is an interesting way for the ice to break, but it just makes you wonder if someone didn't go out there and mess with it before. So very odd, but people say that scientists are actually saying that the phenomena is a natural process known as finger rafting, where two different bodies of ice converge in a way that is akin to interlocking fingers. So not so rare, but people haven't seen it. Link will be up in the show notes for those of you that want to check it out. And also, Stephen Hawking is saying that as AI advances, that there needs to be a global government that does global oversight over AI. And he's being criticized a little bit on this. I just say every AI device that you build, you put a block of C4 in it and you have it so it can be remote triggered by, pushing a button or turning a switch, and, you know, that should solve it, right? Maybe. All right. Anyway, that's the end of the show, folks. I just have to show you here the screen for can I bring this up? Let me load it in the other browser. I want to show you my Synology device. And it's the network attack storage. And I'm logging in here. So for those of you that have never seen this, the Synology device actually has the ability to, you control it through a web browser. And it's an awesome way to manage the system. So it's loading the volume. So right now I have spare storage of how much? 14.1 terabytes is what I have available for storage, with 6.7 terabytes used. So I'm pretty stoked here about my total storage available. This should last me another year. it took me about a year to get to 6 terabytes. So with 5 drives are in the system, everywhere from basically 1.5 and 4 6-terabyte drives, and with 6.7 terabytes I can kill any drive in the volume and put another drive in, it will recover them all, but it's only a fault tolerance of 1. I've got an additional 14.1 terabytes of storage. So, and this was after offloading two or three terabytes of data, which I'll put back on the server now to because I've got the extra storage. But if you haven't used or seen a Synology device before, this thing is really, really slick and how it works. For those of you that are listening, you can see the video at the end of the show today if you want to see the interface for it. But pretty cool. And how it works out. Hey, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, we want you to send comments, and you can always submit stuff via Facebook and on Twitter as well, but the best way to get it on the show is through those options. And let me double check and make sure I think I actually had some email come in, and let me look at that. Oh, yeah, I did. So, Bill sent me an email. He said, in your last show, you talked about the huge improvement from installing an SSD you had on one of your computers. For over 5 years now, so I've refused to use a computer without one. In fact, when I switched jobs in 2013, my new work computer did not have one, so I paid for one and swapped it out. As we purchased new laptops for staff, we spec them with SSD at this point. Over 95% have SSDs. All the students' Chromebooks have them as well. I like to think faster computers we gave the teachers make their jobs a bit easier. And Bill is a technological support coordinator in a school district. Bill, thanks for sending that email. And I'll be honest with you, it just gives my desktop a whole, it feels like a brand new machine. So that for me was worth every penny that the SSD costs. And boy, you must have forked out a lot of money. You bought them in the early days. So thanks for your feedback, Bill. Definitely appreciate it. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Again, wrapping this thing up, we'll be back with you on Thursday for another show. Drop me an email. Let me know how we're doing. A little bit long today, but I hope you enjoyed the show. I had a great time doing it for you. Those of you that hung up on Facebook and YouTube, thank you so much. And yes, thank Mike, Bill, Wayne, and Mike, two Mikes in there, for your comments and giving a thumbs up on the show today. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Take care. Aloha.